All right. Okay. If any of you listening right now are coming from listening to the last episode to this one, let me tell you, it's going to be tonally opposite to what I did last week. By the way, yes, episode 92, Story Talking with Laksh. My name is Laksh. Started Launchora, run this podcast, like to write. So right now it's about 2 p.m. on a Monday, and this weekend, yeah, I mean, I'm supposed to release this show on weekends, but I'll explain why it's a Monday and I'm talking to you. So last week I was talking about a story that I'm writing called The Temptation, which is going to be part of the Play Me Life audio show that I'm doing. And as you could tell with last week's episode, that I was having a really good time writing it. I was stuck somewhere for a little bit, and then I developed this thing called the scene list, which really helped me figure out what to write in the story because I was stuck with the plotting. And then this week, I'm back in Gurgaon, and I was in Bombay last week where I was writing. So on Saturday, which is the day I was supposed to usually record the show, I decided to just go out to a Starbucks and just write. And that's very normal for me to do. I'd sometimes do it in the middle of the week when I can, but this Saturday, it was raining or something, and it was really good weather. So I figured I'd just go find a Starbucks, get a giant coffee, and just sit down and type. And I wrote a lot. I think I wrote about 4,000 words or so. Around maybe 3,000 something. And it felt great. And by the end of the day, I was really, really happy because at night I read everything I wrote. I added some new things. And here are the two things that happened. Now, I've mentioned the story of The Temptation before, but I'll just tell you now. I'm trying to keep it very simple as a plot. A girl walks, well, a girl is sitting at a bar, and she's the last person at the bar. And there's a bartender, and they start talking, and they start playing a little drinking game where she says, "I'm going to tell you a story." And every time you, the bartender, ask a question, you have to drink. And then the bartender says, "Okay, in that case, every time you, as this person who's going to tell me a story," which is something that people who come to his bar generally, tend to do, they just monologue. So yeah, he says, "Every time you start monologuing, you have to drink." And when he catches you. So this is the story that I'm writing, and there's a lot of the story she tells has a lot of information and a little bit of twists and turns. And the idea is to have these two people talk about temptation when the phase right before seduction, just the temptation to do something, to act on an impulse, or to act on something that has been perhaps something you're blocking and something that you maybe really are. So I start exploring all these things, and by the end of Saturday, I realize that I'm done with like 75% of the story. And I realize that I've written about a total of 5,000 words. Well, at that point it was maybe four and a half. And it felt like the story was getting to be too long, and the more I was writing, the more it wasn't ending. So I had this at that point, seemed like a brilliant idea, which was to split the story into two parts. I know that Play Me Life is going to have multi-part stories, but this is the first story that I'm writing for the show, so it felt natural to write in the ending of one part and then right at the beginning of the second part to kind of make it a very, you know, a little bit of a cliffhanger, where, you know, there's a point at the end where that should be intriguing to the audience and they want to listen to the second part now. So I think that's a great idea. Why not put the story in two parts? So I then frame the ending of the first part and then I start writing the second part. And some of the words of the second part had already been figured out. I knew, well, I thought I knew what the second part was going to be. I realized that I was, when I woke up on Sunday, and I decided to do the same thing, which was go to Starbucks, a different Starbucks this time, for reasons that are, well, I'll tell you, the same Starbucks was closed. I've never seen a Starbucks that's closed on a Sunday, but this one was closed. So I went to another Starbucks. Completely changed my vibe, and I don't blame Starbucks. But I do blame Starbucks, because who else am I going to blame? Myself? No. Start writing part two, and I am stuck in ways I've never been stuck before. I am doubting myself. I'm doubting everything that the story is about. I'm doubting the first part. And I finished the first part. Like, every word is written in the first part. It's 300 words total, and it's done. And then the second part is about, like, 1,500 words. So I'm thinking, should I go back to having it just be one part? Because I was first afraid the two parts, as one part, would be too long. And now as two parts, I'm struggling to even know what to put in the second part. And now it feels like tonally the second part is very different to the first part, but it's supposed to be the same night and the same conversation. So I start just having all these feelings about where the story is going, and I realize that I'm stuck because I don't know the ending. And this is something that's happened with every story I've ever written. Usually halfway through, or even, I mean, sometimes very much in the beginning, but many times, at least by the time I reach the middle of the story, I know the ending. And when I say I know the ending, I know the last sentence. And I realized while writing this story that I don't have that ending. I don't have that sentence. And I wrote an ending yesterday, and I didn't like it. And this is something that I don't have to end up dealing with a lot of times, but I don't usually like to delete things I've written, because I think these stories are supposed to be fast and they're talkative. There's people, you know, just two people talking. So if something comes out while I'm writing, that comes out while I'm writing. So I don't want to delete whole scenes. I will delete, you know, dialogues and lines and sections here and there. But I wrote this last scene and it got typed out and I read it and I was very, very unsure if this is what I want, if this is what the ending is. So I kept struggling all day yesterday, Sunday. And I realized that the way I had structured the story now, as far as who the characters are and what their motive is in the story and in the scenes, I'm not really sure about the bartender's character. I know exactly everything the girl is. I know what she wants. I know her real agenda. And I noticed that I've written most of the story and nothing changes. She has a plan and then she executes that plan. And this reminded me of something that Aaron Sorkin said in his masterclass, about that every character has something they want. There's intention, but then there's obstacles. And interestingly, the story that she's telling in my the temptation, the what the female character is telling, that story has all the right elements. It has intention and obstacle, and it has consequences, and it's that part is done. What I'm stuck at is the actual story, the story outside the story being told, and not knowing what to do with the bartender's intentions and obstacles. Because in order for me to finish the story, I need both characters to. This is how I feel about two people, two strangers in a story together. I don't believe that two people, if they're just going to talk for like, oh, that was another thing. I didn't feel like writing a one-part story because that would have to be under 30 minutes. And I felt like if these people are talking just for 30 minutes because it's live, the conclusion I want is not going to feel justified to you as an audience, which is why I was tempted to, well, I keep using the word tempted all weekend. It's used many times in my story. I could check right now. You know what? I'm gonna do a little search and see how many times I've used the word tempted. All right, just in my notes, it's four times. And then in part one, 18 times. And then part two, oh, just two times. Okay, so about 20 times in the story so far. The word tempt, not tempted. Anyway, I feel like if this story is going to be told in this format, then I need the characters to understand each other at a reasonable level. And then when I was talking about the whole two strangers meeting each other and talking, I can't expect you to believe that two people are going to change overnight, literally over the course of, these 30, 40 minutes that they're going to be talking. But what I can get you to believe is that they're going to have some realizations which they wouldn't have had if they hadn't met this other person. So the goal of the story then became, it's about the temptation, and I want to discuss that. I want these two people to talk about it. So I started giving him his own stories of temptation, and he shares a story about what she's talking about, and I started humanizing him more, and he was not just a listening board anymore, because many times if one character is literally telling a story, then the person listening to the story is a proxy for you, the audience. But you, the audience, will have questions about what the person is saying, and it can't just be a monologue, which is why I put the drinking game. So I started having him interject, I started having him disagree with her. All of that was getting better, and that's what part one did really well for me. But then part two feels like it's just crashing. It's like the whole plan she had is breaking down in part two. And up until I was still at Starbucks, that felt really bad because it felt like I'd written this part one that I really liked, and then in part two, I was destroying my own part one, the part one of the story. And it wasn't until last night that I realized that this is what I could hope to happen, and it was happening because that is the intention and obstacle. Part one is the intention, part two is the obstacle. In part one, my main character, the girl, she's in control. And in part two, the control starts slipping away from her, and that's what I was feeling as a writer while writing it. And I was resisting, which is why I was like, oh, I don't want this scene. I don't want to say that. Why am I saying that? Why is she saying that? Why is he saying that? And I started feeling very attacked by myself. And it wasn't until last night that I reached this moment, and I wasn't even typing. I was literally, I was, okay. another thing I should tell you, because I think it's played a part. This whole week, every night I did a marathon of all the Harry Potter movies. By that I mean, I started, I think, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 movies. And then Saturday, Half-Blood Prince, 6th movie. And on Sunday, I watched both the Deathly Hallows 1 and 2. So that was last night after I was done writing. And it was while watching part 2 that I knew the last sentence. And it turns out it was a callback to something that the two characters talk about in part 1. And my last sentence is the moment where the girl character takes the control back. And when I wrote that line, because I had to pause the movie to type it, when I wrote that line, I could feel myself getting control of the story again. And I don't know if this is going to make any sense to anyone. Maybe you just like listening to me rant about how I write, but this feeling is new to me, of actually losing control of a story only for the story to come back to me at the right time because of the one thing that I always need, which is that last sentence. And this is why this episode is called The Temptation of the Last Sentence. I was hoping to do something with The Last Temptation of Christ, but I realized that I can't really pull off all that wordplay. And the temptation of the last sentence will have to do. Just move words around. But I hope you get the wordplay, or at least the intention of it. So just to give you a sense of where I am right now. I may sound like I've figured it out, but I'll be honest. A part of me still feels like this might just end up becoming one combined story again. But I'm still determined to write part 2 as if it was a two-part story, because I just feel like I need more words and literally more time to be able to deconstruct what the concept of the story is, which is temptation. So in a way, like I think I said this earlier too, like the more I'm writing, the more I feel like the story is telling me what it wants to be. And that's why I'm going to go with the instinct of wanting to write in two parts. I'd say I'm about, so I told you, I think, yeah, I told you, part 1 right now is at exactly 3341 words. It's pretty much done. Unless I'm trying to, I'm assuming that part 1 is set in stone. I'm only going to move around, you know, like some light editing of phrases and words here and there. In terms of plot, I'm going to keep it pretty much the same. So I'm assuming that part 1's already come out. And I have just a few days to, not less than a week really, to write part 2, because I have to release that too. That's what I'm telling myself. So I don't change anything in part 1 because I think it does its job well. Part 2, let's see, it is at 1,656 words. Okay. And I also have some stuff typed out in my notes, which I might copy-paste. But I may not really use it because they get really... There was a point, because of how frustrated I was with the story and what I was writing, I started having my characters really go at it with each other. I mean, I'm just reading right now what this guy said, and I'm just going to read out this line to you. I'm reading it right now. He says, she says, you should stick to bartending, detective. And then he says, am I wrong? Did you make up the fact that this guy was like me to get me interested in your story? But your real goal was to remake that night that all things went badly for you, so you're a sadist or a masochist, whichever one means harming yourself. I mean, it became very interesting because, in a way, when I walked into this story, when I started writing it, I knew the ending in that I didn't know the last sentence, but before I even started typing it, I knew the goal of my female character, like I mentioned before. I didn't realize that the other character also has goals and he's not just there to fulfill her goal. So as I'm writing part two, the character is becoming his own, and now the story is a little bit, actually, I hope it's more exciting than the original ending I had in mind, because all of that idea is now gone out the window. So there you go. That's all I have. I still have to write about 1,500 more words to really know if I'm going to get the story right. And hopefully if that happens, if the first part's 3,300 words, that should translate to maybe about a 20-minute story. So part one will be 20 minutes and part two will be about 15, 20 minutes as well. So that's the goal. Let's see if I can make it. I also realized that you're not really going to be able to actually hear the story until it comes out, because I'm not going to publish it on Launchora. And I guess that's okay, because you'll be hearing me talk about everything else I'm going to write anyway. I'll be honest, I really thought I was going to record this episode on Sunday, because I really thought I would have finished the story by then. And it was last night when the last sentence came out that I was like, okay, finally I have something to tell you as progress in this episode, because I felt very hopeless about it, about the story. But yeah, I'm still not done, and I was thinking I would be done, but that's fine. This has been Story Talking with Laksh, and you know, I actually want to say thank you, because I think I feel much better now after having told you about all of this, because I hadn't processed what happened over the weekend while I was writing until I told it to you. So thank you for being a part of this and for helping me figure this out. I'll see you in the next one.